that's when I hit like a pretty low. I applied to like somewhere between 120, 150 jobs. Didn't hear anything. I didn't even get a no. I didn't get a phone interview. I got nothing. Nothing. And then I started being like, well, I suck.
I've spent the last 10 years honing my skills as a designer and building on my experience to grow my career. Looking back on my journey, it got me thinking, what does it take to be a creative professional? How do you build an effective creative business or grow a successful career? I'm on an infinite quest to learn and apply something new every day. So join me as we dive into the stories and strategies of the most talented creators working today. My name is Anthony Spano, and this is Stay Creating.
So I'm sitting here with Mike Pisalli, graphic designer, senior designer, designer two.
Yeah, I'll take that.
We opened up our discussion early before the mics were on, and Mike has described to me that he is a designer two.
Yeah, you figure that out.
What does this mean?
I mean, it's not the, I'm not the guy, I'm not the lowest on the totem pole, I'm not the highest. Let's just say I'm somewhere in the gray, in the middle.
How many designers are we talking? Designer 37.
Yeah, how many numbers does this go? I think it only goes as high as two, so I'm not sure.
Awesome. Yeah. So how long have you been a designer?
I'd say about 9 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You and I came up pretty
similar time.
Yeah, similar time.
Yeah, similar time frame.
We've known each other for quite a while.
Right, right.
Take me through, you know, like being a kid.
Were you
always like creative? You always had that creative bug?
Basically, the only two very into sports, very into drawing, because I didn't know anything else as far as, you know, quote unquote art goes. And then, but then I always had my pocket of art friends, always had my pocket of sports friends. So that group thinks that you're the sports guy. That guy thinks that you're the art guy.
Yeah.
So I lived somewhere in the middle. So I had very few friends that could do both for me.
Yeah.
So I had lived in two worlds, I would say.
Which is a difficult thing to do. I've always lived between realms as well.
Yeah. Cause there's not many that play in both.
So yeah, dude, that's actually an interesting thing. I've always felt like I've lived sort of this limbo life.
Yeah, well, because also when you're younger, people are very much more so into I'm this, I'm that.
Yeah.
So I'm literally the two opposite things. Yeah. So whatever.
Sports guy, design guy, or art guy, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually that's a good topic because back when we were coming up, design was art. Right,
like well, at least that's what you're told in school.
Yeah, when
for
we went
sure.
to school for it, it was more on the art end.
Because I mean, by default, we're thrown through. They called it foundations in my school.
Yeah,
which I'm not knocking it. I think it's fantastic.
So you're talking about like the fine art stuff.
Yeah,
that
you're
you
forced
have
to take drawing class, photography, sculpture. So you're very much you're brought up through like I'm a fine artist.
I think that's fine. I appreciated those courses.
It serves a purpose for sure.
For sure. I mean, you're using other parts of your brain to like create structures and create you know space.
Right.
But that's not what you're doing
ultimately. No.
And then even through design school, what I found was there was maybe one course. Or one like month where we really zoned in on like portfolio shit or career shit.
I take the quote unquote foundations thing as more of a, I guess, a foundation thing. Like I don't take it as like, oh, this is helping me to literally do what I want to do.
No.
It more so puts you like in a mindset, puts you in that world to then eventually take the class that's, okay, I'm actually going to pay attention because it's in my field more so. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I also took like 3D animation stuff.
I took a video class, took a 3D class.
Yeah, school though was an interesting thing for me. Mm-hmm. When I first went, it was awful.
I'm gonna ask you, when you went, did you know that's what you wanted to do?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
That's a great question. I did. And the reason, actually, at first I didn't. Coming out of high school, I wanted to be a film director.
I wanted to do. You were really into film.
So I was into film and I wanted to, and I...
You would always fuck around with little, like,
Yeah, totally. Right. Yeah. So yes, but I also applied to a bunch of colleges. So I got into Hunter College, Brooklyn College, and Five Towns College.
For film?
Just general
admission. Okay. Gotcha.
I balked at it. Look, I grew up on Long Island. Right. As a kid, I was very sheltered. Mm-hmm. No, I shouldn't say that. I was more like I just didn't, I didn't experience a lot. You basically stay on the island. When you're on Long Island, you stay on the island for the most part.
You
know, you take vacations
to
Florida, you know, like that's what you do.
Right.
So I didn't really know too much about it. The city was super foreign to me. Mm-hmm. And then, it just seemed like I probably was younger for my years at that time.
Uh-huh.
Where I felt a little nervous to take the leap into making a daily commute to the city. I felt
it's a little gnarly.
Can't do this. Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's something my uncle does.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It was foreign to me. Yeah, it was scary. Yeah, so I balked and I wound up just going for my liberal arts degree at a community college on Long Island. So again, wanted to go into film. However, super glad I didn't, right? Because that's
Did you even touch it?
No, never did. Went I like I said, I completely pivoted, went to liberal arts, and then I'm like, I gotta figure out what I'm doing because my friends were graduating, didn't know what I wanted to do.
Right.
Realized one day I'm behind a computer every day, and I have been for the last 4 years.
Right.
Do that.
Right.
You know? And it just started making sense. And I remember like my parents going like supportive, but saying, like, do you want to do this?
Well, did you know what graphic design was? I had no fucking idea.
Because I took courses, I took classes in high school.
Oh, I had no clue.
Oh, so we had a Mac lab.
Right. We did too. Oh, I didn't know how to use them.
Okay.
Yeah.
My first ever program that I used was called PageMaker.
Sweet.
Awesome. Like, I would say it's like basically an InDesign.
In that realm than the other things. Yeah.
Yes. And then Photoshop, Photoshop was there, but it intimidated me because it wasn't PageMaker, which was super easy to use.
Uh-huh.
Photoshop was super complex. Right. But then I started using it and I loved it.
Yeah.
So it was from there. And I took like some 3D stuff in there too.
Mm-hmm.
What's crazy is
high school?
Yeah. And what's crazy is that people in high school, a year younger than me, even probably my age, my year, took web classes where they were writing HTML.
No.
And they were like, oh yeah, we made GeoCities sites.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that was.
Yeah, don't know what that is.
What is this? So I felt like out of the loop web wise.
Yeah.
And it was
Well, that was when you were still, that's pre your Wixes, your Squarespaces, your all that shit where
stuff
like
didn't exist.
Yeah, like you had to know how to fucking make a site.
If you made a website, you knew how to program.
Yeah.
You know, you knew how to code.
Which I would dip my toe in, knew I fucking hated it. But I didn't know if I had to force feed it to myself in order to like, because that's, I didn't know, was that what I'm supposed to do? And then you start questioning, am I doing the right thing? Because I knew I did not like
that. I know what a div is.
Yeah.
Does that work?
Yeah, I have no idea how any of that shit works.
So that's the problem. It was like, I didn't know any of that, right? So I knew how to design. And I remember, you know, my teacher going like, hey, this is really good. And I was like, all right, you know, like whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. That was in high school.
Yeah.
And then, you know, whatever. I went through.
I didn't realize you fucked around with that in high school.
So then finally got to college, decided to go to Briarcliff College, which again.
Right.
But yeah, so I went in there and it was basically the same stuff that you were talking about, like fundamentals or foundational stuff. So we were taking, I think it was called like 2D design or something.
Yeah, we had to do that too. A lot of cut paper.
Yeah. Stuff like that. It was fine art. So there was like some painting. We were doing like oils. We were doing, acrylics.
Right.
And I did take a sculpting class. All of those things, you know, were there. So it was almost like the liberal arts of like art school.
Yeah. Of that world.
But in any case, then you start really kind of gearing down and figuring out what you want to do.
Yeah, then everyone branches out into their own whatever the fuck
thing.
It is. Concentrations.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember taking that 3D class. I don't remember what my last project is, but I do remember seeing the faces the first day of that class and the
3D
teacher.
3D is a nightmare.
It was a nightmare.
Absolute nightmare.
I wasn't into it, but
what'd
I was
you
like,
use? Do you know? We use Maya.
Maya.
That's all
Maya,
I know.
Maya.
Yeah.
So he goes... all right, what does everyone want to do in here?
Yeah.
Do you want to be 3D, you know, people? Do you want to be graphic designers? What do you want to do? So most of the class was into doing that.
Okay.
There were some graphic designers, which I raised my hand like, I don't belong here. I'm scared.
Right.
And then there was this one dude who was like, I want to work for Pixar.
Okay, well.
And he goes, you need to move to LA.
That's adorable.
And his face was like.
Yeah, that shit doesn't exist
what?
Here. That doesn't exist here.
He was.
It probably does, but not like that.
Maybe not. Like now is a different world, right? So we're talking like 06.
You
know what I mean? Not even
that.
Like 05, you know? Like, so that was, it was just a different world.
Yeah.
In any case, so Briarcliff was an interesting thing. It was an art school or a design school on Long Island.
Right.
And I had one professor kind of come up to me and go, hey, can I talk to you outside for a second? And I was like, oh, fuck, what'd I do?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, hey, listen, your work's really good.
Yeah.
And the thing that will help you get buy is competition. And he goes, there's nothing here competitive-wise for you.
Yeah.
He goes, I teach a class at FIT.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that that was a thing.
Yeah.
With you.
Yeah. So he's like, I teach a course at FIT. Would you be interested in doing that? And I went, I never thought of that. I didn't even know FIT had a program. He goes, they have a great program.
Oh, cool.
He's like, and it's a state school.
That's sick that he did that.
Yeah. It was really good. It was really nice of him.
Oh, yeah. I forgot it's a state school.
By the way, I still speak to him like through Twitter and stuff every once in a while.
Okay. I don't talk to any of my professors.
And I actually reached out to him. I'm hoping that he does this, Scott. I hope it, you hear this, Scott, and you hear the when you do your interview. But
yeah.
That was super nice. I always remember that, right? So I remember like maybe 2-3 people from that school that that I remembered that actually like had a lasting impact.
Yeah.
That was one of them. And so he goes, I teach a class there and I'd like you to check it out. He goes, sit in one of my classes and see if it's for you.
Awesome.
So we set it up, went to the city, met him at FIT. Oh, he goes, so it's a state school. All of the money goes back into the school. He goes, so they have all of the best equipment. And it was true.
Sick.
Yeah. I showed up that day. I met him. We walked in. Immediately intimidated by everything I saw.
Oh, yeah. Well, because the fact that you're even out here is terrifying.
Right? And again, Long Island, small town.
You also just have this skewed idea in your head that, like, it's the city, so it's... I don't know. You feel like you're the kid from the suburbs.
I don't feel that way now, but I did.
You know what I mean? We've had this similar talk about something... I want to say one thing where it was like, oh, you're a good designer for like a dude that's from Long Island.
Yep.
It's that same
pocket talk. By
the way,
I can always tell when I see a designer from Long Island.
Right. But like I remember we were talking about like the fact that that's even a thing that's said.
Yeah.
Means like, okay, well, that sucks.
I know.
Because then you at least feel initially it's an uphill whatever.
I know.
Until you get a city job and the right person takes you seriously.
People's faces cringe. Like they scrunch up when I say Long
Island. It sucked
when
I first found out that was a thing. Because I don't know. You don't know. Once you hear that, it's like, oh, people think that way. And then that sucks because now I have to win that.
Now we know.
Yeah.
In any case, so I sat in on there. Long story short, it was a super long story for no reason. Mm-hmm. But it was awesome. Mm-hmm. I loved the experience. It was so cool. But the only problem is they didn't have a bachelor's program.
Okay.
They only had an associate's program, and I was already like, I already had that. I was gone for my bachelor's. It didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So I didn't continue, and I continued.
Do you regret not continuing?
No, because it would have been great again for like my growth probably earlier on. But I like the way I came up only because I came up super in a different, world. It's a weird thing with me too. Like I've always been like almost cross generational. It's like this limbo life, right? You're not necessarily there. You're not necessarily there. You relate to both, right? You could speak the languages and really kind of, you know, hold your own on both, but you didn't really like necessarily belong in one bucket, right?
Yeah. It was hard to, it was two different things I was into. Very few things had them together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So I grew up, when I came up in print, I mean, my first job was at a print shop.
Oh, right. Man, I remember that.
And it was a printer, but he had created this sort of like a team of graphic designers, which if you know anything about the print scene on Long Island in, 2008, it was terrible. I mean, you would walk in, there's paper everywhere.
A lot
it's
of
just
paper.
Disaster. Yeah. You don't know who works there.
Are we talking like business cards and flyers kind of paper?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
However, this one was different. It was like the owner had bought an invitation shop also. He kept it really classy. It was it was in a higher end like neighborhood as well on Long Island. So the clientele was like, better. They would come in. They would have businesses, It wasn't like, hey, get me this, was legit.
Right.
So that helped out.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to kind of service different businesses, different people, different clientele. It was really good.
Mm-hmm.
In any case. So that's how I got my start. How did you get your start?
Actually, my first is, so when I was in school, we did basically every year, what was it called? Like the Bullies?
Best
of Long Island. It's
a thing?
That like,
so I know Best of LI.
Yeah. So, that's it. So it's like,
The Bullies.
Yeah. That's like the cool. So it's like every, like, all the local schools submit to whatever. And the Vanderbilt Museum.
Oh, yeah.
With that
this.
Old museum, whatever, on Long Island had it was like a rebranding project. And they're a nonprofit. So they weren't going to pay for their work also. So they farm out to these schools and then they pick a winner and that's the logo they go with. So, but I don't know who picks it because I don't. It's like a judge's pick, not someone from the museum themselves. So we actually didn't win. We came in second place, but then the higher up at the museum contacted my professor and said, "We know your school technically didn't win, but we didn't choose that. So we won. So technically we won without winning.
That's awesome.
So they wanted to offer one person from the group that submitted a job. Two of my friends were interning at Newsday that were in my group. So they were already getting, they were in a paid internship.
Okay.
So they were like, I can't do both. You want? So I'm like, yeah, I'll take it. So that's how I started working part-time. That was my first technical getting paid design job.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Working 2 days a week.
I remember that too. You made like a map.
Yeah. Right? It was like a site map. When you get on there, you know, it like tells you where everything is. So I was doing like a lot of print ad stuff, some like email blast digital shit, but everything was really like antiquated there because they were like an old, whatever.
They're a museum.
Yeah. But I was by default the creative director for the everything. 'Cause they didn't have an art department. They were using like clip art and shit before that. Mm-hmm. So basically everything I made, they were obsessed with, but that was me first getting, it was like a baby step into the professional career. 'Cause it wasn't really a professional environment. Right. Not their fault. It's not what they were there for.
Sure.
So I was doing that 2 days a week, getting super frustrated. Because I was working at a food store part time also.
Yeah.
So my creative outlet is, I was like, I don't know, I always like, is sounds whatever, but into t-shirts. So I wanted to do t-shirts. I wanted to design my own t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got very caught up in like the Obey scene with stickers and repetitive symbols.
Didn't we see, we went to see the
Exit through the gift shop. Yeah. So I was very obsessed with that. Started my own kind of thing. Basically through that, taught myself screen printing. Mm-hmm. I screen printed a couple things myself, but basically what I was doing is I was designing shirts for no one.
Yeah.
And I contacted a local printer. I went there for a quote unquote meeting with my laptop, acted like I was everything was speaking as if I was part of a bigger thing. It was just me in my mom's basement.
You had a team. Yeah.
Yeah. So I tried to make it sound more legit. I was printing like 60 t-shirts at a pop, selling them to all my friends at the food store, selling them like out of my trunk.
It's awesome.
It at least made me feel like, oh, I'm doing for something. Sure. Yeah.
Well, also, there's an interest, right? Like you're selling them to a friend.
Yeah, it made me feel
like,
cool.
They're not pitying you. They think it's dope. Right. So like, yeah, let me get a shirt.
It made me feel cool. I was doing something creative. It was helping me. It was scratching that itch because I wasn't getting it anywhere else.
Yeah.
Then I was really applying because I'm like, I don't want to work at a food store my whole life. I want to get a real job. And then I applied through a friend, actually, from the same school. He was like, he was affiliated with a headhunter, and he had a job, and he's like, they contacted me about this position. Would you be into it? And it's like merchandising for the music company.
Wasn't it Warner Music?
It was Capitol Records. EMI Records, which I believe was owned by Capitol Records. Like my check was from Capitol Records, EMI was like the label.
Right.
So I applied to that. I put all my screen printing shit on there because it was a merchandise thing, printing t-shirts. Every time when I was speaking about it in the interview, I was acting like it was way more of a thing than actually was.
Selling yourself.
I don't know if that's what got me in, but it definitely helped because it was the only thing that was in their industry in my portfolio because everything else was school stuff or museum stuff. So I was talking like all this screen printing jargon that I had taught myself. Ended up getting that job.
Yeah.
So I was working at EMI at a screen printing facility. So I was like an art guy inside there.
Yeah.
So like the EMI offices were in the city, but I was working out on Long Island. So I was an art guy in this independence facility. Mm-hmm. So like I would get off on different holidays than them, different hours. It was weird because I wasn't getting paid by those people.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. So it's cool. I mean, I was loving it. I mean, it was my first professional job. I was making band t-shirts for whether it be like wholesale, sold in stores, sold on their tours. I thought it was like the coolest thing I could possibly be doing.
By the way, that was the one thing I wanted to do out of school.
Oh, I was obsessed with it. I just wanted to work in the music industry. The fact that I landed a job, but it also happened to be something I was interested in, was just
incredible.
Pretty much luck. It kind of just happened. So I was obsessed with that. I was working in the screen printing facility, doing like snapbacks, hoodies, working on events, concerts. Thought it was awesome. I was very low man on the totem pole, though.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. You're making your way up, dude. You're just starting.
Right. Then they got bought out by Universal. And it was cool. You could either reapply to your job that's now on the West Coast or you're getting let go.
Great.
I didn't have the balls to do that at the time, so I got let go.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was told by the guy who owned the screen printing facility, hey, bad news is you technically got fired, I guess. Good news is I'll absorb you to do the same exact thing you've been doing just for me now. It's just a different set of licenses. And this is where it didn't... At first, it was fine. Then that gradually turned into, cool, we're getting more and more different types of machinery. We're getting into more contract printing for places like SoulCycle and stuff like that. We need a guy to run this production machine. So I got my toe wet in doing both sides, which at first I loved because I was now doing design.
Yeah.
And I was seeing it through. I was basically designing something and seeing it through to being a physical product. I thought it was great.
It's awesome. Look, early on when I said I worked in a print shop, I mean, I knew how to work a Heidelberg, which is insane. Mm-hmm. It's like one of the original printing presses. It was awesome.
Right. But I mean, it was great that I loved seeing both sides of the product because it was like, I mean, I was getting my hands dirty in the printing before I even got that job. So right. I thought it was great. The problem came when whatever production ramped up and I became a full blown just machine operator.
Right.
And I was never being, at least in my opinion, taken seriously to do the art because I never graduated from being the low guy on the totem pole.
So
there.
What were they doing then instead with artwork? Like, from, you know, you were doing the artwork, but then you became a machine operator instead.
Yeah, I was running presses like on different machines.
What were they doing artwork wise?
There was two guys still doing the artwork. Okay. There were just guys that were there before me, friends of the guy who owned the place.
Got it.
I get it. But like, just, I mean, it's not anyone's fault, but just personally, that's not what I got. I remember even in my exit interview, they're like, what could we have done differently? I'm like,
oh, so many
I'm
things.
Not, so many.
Yeah.
Aside from the laundry list, I'm like, yeah, well, I'm not doing what I got hired here to do.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
A bunch of other things went along with it, but I'm like, this is not what I want to be an art guy. This is not, I'm not even doing it anymore. I'm literally applying to jobs saying I'm an artist and I haven't been doing art for the last year.
Yeah.
So I was getting very, very frustrated.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
And then, I mean, applying is like the hardest thing in the world. I came really close at a dream job twice.
Yeah.
Two separate times. Almost moved to Baltimore.
Well, you also, I remember that for Under Armour.
Under Armour.
So before that, though, didn't you do like an internship at NBC or something?
That was while I was still in school. That was right before, that was before the Vanderbilt thing.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That was an internship I got through a professor.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
So I was NBC Universal working on some projects.
That's
it was
great.
Cool.
Experience
that was my
exposure.
Similar, I guess, like to your FIT experience. It was like, oh god, I'm in the city now.
Yeah,
do I need to wear Converse now? Right. I don't know, like, what does this mean? Like, it was very
now,
like, ooh,
now
whoa.
It's Vans.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I was like, oh wow, okay. So I felt very like, you know, intimidated.
Yeah,
that was cool. Well, I tried them first and they weren't hiring because I had no other option.
I had an internship early on too that I was super pumped about. It was a tiny agency on Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
Yeah.
And they at the end of it were like, look, we would love you for you to stick on, but we can't hire you.
Right.
And I was like,
which is either something that everyone just says or they actually mean it, because I got the same thing and I'm sure a lot of people do too.
Yeah, it's tough. Listen, also, not to mention, we came up in a very, very awful time in the economy.
Yeah, it was terrible.
So around 08.
And there's a million people that were just like us
exactly.
doing the same thing.
So
in the same field, no less.
The economy crashes.
Yeah.
Everybody's firing people.
Real
just
cool.
letting people go.
Real cool.
And that's when we're looking for jobs.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, great. And I never want to use that as an excuse.
No. I mean, it doesn't help.
No, exactly. It wasn't helping at all. So I think we're lucky enough, and all of us as creatives, you know, after that, it was kind of the rebirth of or the birth of all of those types of jobs, right?
Right. Where not only is it hard to get a job, period, there's a million of us thinking, I'm an art guy now.
What am I doing?
Yeah. So our specific subject was booming as well as not being able to find a job in general.
Yeah.
So it was not a good mix.
Yeah, so marketing and sales kind of took over, and then all of these jobs started popping up out of it, you know, like all these different industries. But I never knew. Again, it kind of goes back to, I think, growing up on Long Island or being stuck there or not seeing past, you know, 10 feet in front of you in a way. And that's always been my issue, where I didn't have a network around me.
I have none.
Look, here's the deal. I could have done, you know, in hindsight, and now I don't give myself that excuse. I want to help myself as much as possible. So I blame myself in hindsight. Probably shouldn't, but at the same time, I want to keep...
It's way easy now because you know things you didn't know then.
I want to take ownership of it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I could have done better. Let's just say that. However... no network to speak of, right?
None.
So you try
absolutely
to,
none.
And we've always spoken about that.
Right,
it's been a tough thing to kind of come up in that as a creative. And again, you don't find yourself here or there.
Right. So me and you very much so would talk to our one person network about not having a network.
Exactly. Exactly. So it was really tough. Part of this whole venture in like speaking to different creatives is like, is expanding that network.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, that's why I think it's fantastic.
And hearing their stories. I want to hear
awesome.
All of this, you know, because there's also, I would see some people that I would maybe know or peripherally know, and they'd be like, oh, working at whatever. And I'm like, how the fuck did you get that? You know what I mean? Like, you're really good, and that's fine. But like, how'd you get that? Or I would see somebody that's not that good, but got it, right?
Yeah.
Again, that's why I want to hold the ownership to myself, because I could have done better, but at the time I didn't know.
Right.
You know, so now I'm cognizant of it, obviously. And
right. It's way easier to know now.
Completely
but...
different world for me now.
Yeah.
You worked at Topps for a little while.
Yeah, that was
baseball
my
cards.
That was the job after the screen printing place and after I almost moved. which I was psyched on. In hindsight, it's great that it didn't happen.
Yeah, so yeah, Mike almost moved to Baltimore to be a designer for Under Armour.
Yeah.
Which you visited the facility.
Yeah, they took me on like a tour. They gave me like a pamphlet telling me the surrounding neighborhoods because I was at the point where it was either you're down to like, I don't know, 2-3 people.
Yeah.
So you got to know if we say yes to you, you got to move like in
right.
a week.
Right, right.
So I was like looking. I actually went out the following weekend after the interview to look at neighborhoods because I'm like, this is very real. So if it happens, I have to know where I want to move.
I might live in Baltimore.
Which was scary. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I wasn't ready to do that. There was pretty much nothing that would make me do that except for fucking sportswear and one of those things. I was like, that's my dream still. So, because I'm obsessed with Nike and other things like that. So I was like, yeah, that would be the one thing that would like make me possibly move.
Well, I find that interesting. Like you opened it up kind of saying like, you know, you're always like a sports guy and a creative guy.
Yeah.
And then you've really married the two for your career.
When you look at it, yeah. I don't know if that's just, I don't know what makes that happen because it wasn't a conscious effort, but it worked out.
I think it's the interest that drives you, right? Yeah. You see those opportunities. So obviously they're maybe jumping to the top of your list when you're doing a search.
Oh, yeah. When you're looking, I guess that's the thing that's going to make you apply there rather than the farmer's dog.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So you worked at Tops.
No issue with that. I think it's great what you guys are doing.
So, Tops, you go to Tops and,
so I got a job with Tops working their UFC account.
Oh, right.
Which
and
again,
hockey
the sports
though,
thing.
NHL as well.
It
right?
started off UFC.
Oh, right.
Cause I was in their apps division, which I didn't even know existed. I didn't know what it was. Even when I got the interview, took the job, I had no idea.
Well, everyone, if you know Tops, you know, like, you know, they were trading cards back until when
everyone thinks baseball cards
or something.
Yeah.
Like,
everyone thinks baseball before. Cards,
baseball so. Cards. So like, but physical cards, right?
Yeah.
So I guess like smartly enough, Tops pivoted to digital, right?
Yeah.
Which something, you know, Blockbuster went away, or, you know, all of those sort of tangible things.
Yeah.
They didn't make the switch to digital, but they did. And then, you know, I think maybe you got that same kind of look when you told people I work for Tops and it's baseball cards on your phone.
Yeah. I still don't know how to describe it, but So, I mean, but it makes money. So, I mean, that's great for them.
Yeah.
It's
they
fantastic.
Figured out some kind of process, right? Some kind of system. So
and then, to get that, there's no, secret sauce. And that was just literally, I was applying to over 100 jobs easy and they just happened on LinkedIn, nothing crazy.
Sure.
Didn't know anybody, didn't have any connect back to the network thing, next to no network, just applying. And they happened to one of the few people that even answered. And then I went on an interview there.
Yeah. It's always tough. There's a sea of designers out there. It's really tough, you know?
So it was just and I remember when I'm in the interview process with the art director at the time, he's like, yeah, man. So I think your stuff's really good. I mean, it's a shame though. I mean, you don't really have much trading card design. And like
so specific.
So like, well, zero offense, but how the fuck am I supposed to have that unless you hired me 3 years ago?
Sorry,
no
I
one
come
has that. I'm like, I don't know. So that's when you throw the I adapt kind
of
answer because
yeah,
that's
course.
A bullshit thing for him to say.
So no card design to speak of.
Yeah. So sorry, but still got the job. Cool. So I was working on their UFC account, making digital UFC cards because that was the app that they launched. And then they were launching a hockey app, and I mean I personally really love the UFC, but it's still, as far as sports go, a pretty niche mm-hmm. market, so it wasn't doing as well.
Yeah,
and word was that they were going to launch a hockey app. So they when the we had weekly design meetings, the art director was like, "So if you guys know of anybody,
that
let
can,
us
like,
know
because
we need to hire a new designer for hockey." I immediately walked into his office after that meeting was over, just on a one-on-one. I'm like, can I do it, though?
Yeah.
I mean, you still got to hire a new guy, but could I be the hockey
like
guy? Because I don't want to be on UFC anymore.
Right.
Because, I mean, I don't know dick about hockey, but it was like I knew it was a bigger audience.
Yeah.
Even though that's pretty niche, it's bigger than a UFC market. So I jumped to hockey. Had some success doing that at first just because the audience was bigger, so it was making more money. It made me feel good, so I felt like I made the right decision.
Right.
Also, the UFC was very restrictive in their the creative process. You couldn't really... Hockey was way looser, so I was able to have a little more fun with it and do what I want to do.
Why were they so tight with UFC?
I mean, if you know anything about the UFC, it's very... Ever since... That's a lot of fighters' problems, too, not to get too much into that, but it's like Reebok has a stranglehold on everything. So that's why everyone's fight kit looks the same. There's no sponsors. No outside. So it's very... They have a very tight grip on the aesthetic.
Right.
So when it came to making trading cards, they would send us their style guide, and it was basically like, make it look like this, but also don't make it look exactly like this. And I'm like, okay.
Every time.
Strict rules of like no blood, no violence. Like, hey, don't have two guys fighting in a cage then. So what do you want me to do?
Yeah. Your ear looks like cauliflower.
Exactly. So it was cool, but it was very restrictive creatively. So among other reasons, is why I made the jump to hockey. And it was, at that, for being still at Tops, it was a great move. I loved it.
Yeah.
Way more open as far as what I was able to do. But my problem with there is, I mean, it was good. It was good to me. It was awesome. It got repetitive because I was doing the same thing over and over again because we made digital trading cards. It was never not that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was designing every day. I'd open up a blank canvas. It was a rectangle.
Mm-hmm.
Design the rectangle. Put a hockey guy on it.
Right.
Make it look cool.
Yeah,
call it intense. Like, that's the name of the fucking set. And I was like, it's great, but I wanted to do more.
Yeah, totally.
And there I could see, like, you know, you kind of see, like, that it pretty much wasn't going to be more than that.
So would you consider it, like, production design at that point? Like, where you were...
Yes and no, because, I mean, the initial design is something creative.
Mm-hmm.
But then you make the one thing, and if anyone knows anything about a card set, probably don't blame you, but... You then make like 15 that look exactly like that.
Right.
You just swap the player out,
that's
swap
the
name,
part
blah, blah, blah.
Of it.
Yeah.
So we're still doing that, though.
I'm doing that, too, for the most part. We had some freelancers, but they were pretty thin on that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They were usually being used for other things. But like creatively, it was just like, I was designing for the literally and figuratively the same canvas every time.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to do more.
Totally.
So I wanted to get, that's what forced me to
start looking again.
Applying there.
Yeah.
And, that's when I hit like a pretty low. I applied to like somewhere between 120, 150 jobs. Didn't hear anything.
It's rough.
I didn't even get a no.
Yeah.
I didn't get a phone interview. I got nothing. Nothing. And then I started being like, well, I suck.
Yeah.
I'm not getting anything. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I have, again, next to no network. I have no idea what to do.
To your brain.
Oh, my God. And that's the thing that I wound up redesigning my whole portfolio. I guess you could equate this to the t-shirt thing I did before. That was like the moment when I did something that I wouldn't have done if I wasn't so quote unquote desperate, I guess, you know, because I was getting real antsy.
Oh, absolutely.
So it forced me to redesign, made a whole new website. I mean, I'd like to think that's what helped. I mean, that played some part
played role,
in helping. And then applying. I don't know if I'm going to call it luck or not, but literally one of the only places that ever got back to me was ESPN.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Which I was like, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Right after I applied to that one, about 2 days later, I got an email saying we'd like to have you for a phone interview.
Amazing.
3 days later, had a second phone interview. 3 days later, had an in-person interview. You know, like one of those where it lasts like 5 hours. You meet everybody.
Yeah.
And then they went silent for a month. That felt great. I found out that...
When in the year was that? Summer?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably why.
I had nobody's email except for the recruiter, so I got an automated email saying she was on vacation, she's not going to be back for 2 weeks.
Someone talk to me.
Yeah, so you know, you just feel like, okay, well, I definitely didn't get it. They must have hired someone in the meantime. They haven't gotten around to giving my automated rejection yet.
Right, right.
And then about a month later, I got the thing that you got it. So then that was like a dream for in every way. It wasn't a lateral move. It was a promotion. It was because it's ESPN. It was more money.
Yeah, yeah.
Creatively, I didn't exactly know what it meant at the time. I just knew it was, it's ESPN, so I'm going to do it.
Right.
So, and then, I mean, now I've been there, about 10 months?
That's awesome.
And so far, it's creatively the coolest thing I've ever done. Because working on wide variety of stuff, and it's awesome.
And you're really close to the sport, right? So that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
So I've seen that you're really close to NBA right now.
Yeah. So it turns out, so there's like a stable of designers and a bunch of art directors. And from what I'm finding out, like for the most part, you stay on certain licenses.
Okay.
And you could always move, and they move you around, but they see like, oh, this guy's good at that. He's into that. We'll have you on that. The first thing I got put on was NBA spots, like TV commercials.
Okay.
Which terrified me because I'm like, I don't know how to do video.
Yeah.
But turns out that like I'm basically making storyboards for how the commercial will look.
Okay.
So I'm making files and I end up making like a thing that gets passed off to the video guys and they make the spot using my graphics. And I'm like sort of kind of art directing the spot because they're making it look like what it looks like based on what I'm giving them. So that was the first thing I was put on.
Yeah.
And what I love personally about working on the NBA as opposed to like a baseball or a hockey per se, for lack of a better phrase, it lives into like basketball super tight, like closely to hip hop,
to music,
culture, whatever you want, like sneaker culture, hip hop, all that kind of stuff. So, and it's them.
You have Drake on the sidelines rubbing the shoulders of
exactly.
NBA coaches.
So like I'm coming from a place where it's like when we talk about before this job, we're talking about inspiration. It's like, oh, listen to this like a Jay-Z song and use that as like inspiration.
Yeah.
Now where I'm at, it's like, no, we're going to get Jay-Z for it. So yeah, I'm like, oh, insane. Okay. So it's a whole different, I mean, it's the coolest shit.
Yeah, it's so
it's coolest thing ever. So that was the first thing I was put on was NBA spots with, yeah, like hip hop artists and stuff. I mean, I didn't get to meet them, but the fact that they're in the spots, it was like, that was my intro to it. It was the coolest
thing you just did recently about South.
The music thing?
What did you just recently post?
So for the NBA Finals, they wanted to, they want to make this ESPN house like a thing.
Yeah.
Like ESPN, that's like our,
that's the thing.
That's our big event thing. We're going to call it the house. So we actually have TV studios in at the South Street Seaport.
Yeah.
In Lower Manhattan.
So sick.
So there's a rooftop venue there where they do concerts.
Oh, yes.
So we have access to that. So we did a full takeover of the building, and they got, it was a big thing because we were going to do game one kickoff party. It was going to be a party concert, a watch party where like after the concert's over, you watch the game on the stage on like a 30-foot wide TV screen. Yeah. So yada, yada, yada. I got to design the whole thing. So at first it was like a crippling, like, how the fuck am I going to do this? But also, like, I don't want anyone else to do it because this is the coolest shit ever. So I want it, but I'm also terrified of it. You know what I mean? So basically, long story short, it was a lot of design work, and it ended up, game one got rained out. I was about ready to cry because I didn't know if it was going to get...
Game one got rained out?
Well, the party got rained out. Yeah. It's basketball. It's an indoor affair. Yeah. So we had to cancel the party because you can't be on the roof if there's lightning.
Yeah.
So I was crushed. I thought that it wasn't going to happen. They rescheduled it. They quickly rescheduled it for game three.
All right.
But the second we were going to get, they had two hip hop artists signed for game one. The second we said we had to move it, they both dropped.
Ugh.
So coolest thing that I've ever designed to date only happened last night. So I designed the outside of the building. There's all these LED monitors in the atrium on your way up.
Yeah.
Designed all this stuff for the roof. I designed three so they had a basketball, they erected a basketball cage on the roof with three hoops.
Oh, that's sick.
I designed the wall of that. They had a live screen printing booth.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, I made three separate t-shirt designs. You walk up, you're like, I like design two. I'm a size medium. They print it right there, give it to you. I designed the graffiti for the back wall of that. I have no idea. I know it was a free concert. I don't know how. It was like VIP sections, basically. So then it was like, I did all the design work for like the monitors on the side of the stage, everything. So it was like the coolest thing ever.
Working with you, are you on a team that's also helping out with this?
Particular event, I was the only guy who made anything. There were some video guys that helped with the video spots, but they built them based off of like the aesthetic that I had made for all the physical signage.
Yeah.
So I'm working on things that are like 10 foot high by 7 feet wide, like, which is terrifying because you don't want to fuck it up.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So there was a 40-minute concert. They got 2 Chainz.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was the coolest thing I've ever done. So he did like a 40-minute set, and then they throw it to the game. So after his concert's over with all the video going on behind him, everyone's playing basketball, getting T-shirts and stuff, they throw it to the game, and then it just became a watch party.
That's
and there's
sick.
Like a bar on the roof. There's food
That's
trucks
where
on
you
the
were
roof.
Last night.
Yeah.
That's
I was there from 8 in the morning setting up, putting up the signage and stuff.
Oh, you were
got
actually
a sunburn.
Installing.
Well, there's a team that installs, but I was basically walking around with the mock-ups being like, that goes in that window. No, that goes on that thing.
That's
goes upstairs.
That's great like direction that you're able to do.
But it was
that.
One of those things where like if you told me I was going to be doing that, I would have shit myself.
Yeah,
but then in the moment where like, you know, it has to get done, it's almost like after the fact, like, did I just...
Yeah.
Was I just like... kind of telling people where, like, that's not, I would have felt totally uncomfortable doing it, but you were forced into that situation. I'm like, no, I'm psyched. I'm proud that I did that. I didn't think I was going to, but in that moment, you have to. You know what I mean?
You're the one that knows where it should go.
Right,
so
which
like...
is why I became, like, by default, point man on where it went. But, it was one of those things that was scary, but in the moment, you just realize, which was really cool. After, like, oh, I just did that.
So real quick, how big of a role does confidence play in what we do? Because I feel that it plays a huge role.
Now I would, I think I agree. Yeah, it plays a huge role. But if you would ask me 4 or 5 years ago, I probably would have said, I think that's what you need, but I don't have it.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, something
it really
I struggled
helps.
With for a long time.
Even with like a lot of things that you do, it depends on what level you're at within like the hierarchy of the specific company. But it's like, you make something, but... that's like half the battle. Then you have to sell people on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're always selling yourself, right? You're always selling the fact that you know what you're doing.
Right.
Trust me because I've been there and I know what I'm doing,
right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
you know, the fact that you're walking around directing people on where all of this stuff goes, because
scary as shit. I did not have the confidence to do that. I was just like thrown into that role.
Totally.
Which is cool. I'm happy now that it happened.
You did, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of the roles, and I'm sure you were the same way, but like a lot of the roles that I took on early on where I was the only person there.
Right.
So I had to learn.
That's how the museum thing was. I was everything.
Exactly.
Because they don't have anything.
They don't have anything else. Yeah. So I have to learn.
There was nobody.
You know? So that, that helped with my personal growth, right? I mean, it helped with my professional growth for sure. That networking thing was still not there though, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's still not.
So, I mean, that's awesome. So, so what's next, man? Like, where do you want to go from here?
I mean, right now I'm still very much in the honeymoon phase of where I am there. Cause I'm getting to work on logos one day. I'm getting to work on an event the next day. I'm working on Instagram posts for college football the next day. So the variety and the subject matter is like right in my, what I like.
Cool.
So right now I'm very happy. Yeah. Like anything else you'd like to. Who doesn't want to move up within where they are?
Yeah.
That seems like the logical thing because that's what you think you're supposed to do. Yeah. But right now, I'm very happy where I'm at now. So I wouldn't mind moving up within.
Yeah.
Or who knows, maybe somewhere down the line, if I can't do it there, I make a move where I maybe get a higher position, maybe at like a small firm or like a small like design house. You know, because big brands still, I really like the idea, even though it sounds kind of shallow, like you do something and people see it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I want people to, like I do a TV spot, people see it. It makes you feel good.
Yeah, it's almost the reward at the end.
Right, so I like that. So then it's like, okay, so I wouldn't mind a lot of like big brands farm out to smaller design agencies to still like, you know, work for the Nikes, the Adidas, all that kind of stuff. I would not be opposed to working in one of those places as long as I was like, you know, career-wise going forward. You know what I mean?
So give some advice to some maybe up-and-coming graphic designers or designers out there that are struggling.
Yeah, the struggle sucks for sure. Like I said, we both have been there as far as like not knowing where you're going to get next. But like I said, it sounds very easy to say that now, but one thing I can see it's some kind of trend in things that I was doing. When I was the most frustrated, it forced me to do things that I wouldn't ordinarily do.
Yeah.
Like teach myself a new medium that helped me get the music job or teach myself how to make a website.
Yeah.
So whatever that thing may be, use the frustration of not being able to get what you want to fuel, whether it's a passion project, what I mean?
Yeah.
Or something else that helps you. You could take that negativity and use it into like bettering your personal brand.
Yeah, you're almost digging like this new path, right? That you didn't see, but you're in complete control of it because you decided to do it.
Right, right. Yeah. So if you can't get the thing, whatever the thing is that you want to get, it's like if everything is just working, why would you change anything?
Yeah.
It's the second that you can't reach the thing that you want that makes you have to dig, whatever that thing is, you have to dig deeper. So like try to use the frustration of not getting what you want to like, you know, it sounds very cliche to like channel it for good.
For sure.
But you'd never remake your website if you thought your website was great and everyone told you it was dope.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
There's no reason to. It's working.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Awesome. So, all right. Where can we find you?
Pretty much the only channels I use. So Instagram, it's Mike P.
Literally, it's Mike P.
Yeah. Everything with Mike's taken. Yeah. So yeah, the literal it's Mike P.
Nice.
And then, that'll get you to my website too, which just has some of my stuff on it, which is MikeVPasali.com.
MVP, great initials.
Yeah, that was just, thank you, Dad.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You set me up perfectly for that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Awesome. Dude, it was awesome having you on.
Yeah, thanks, man.
I love talking this through. I mean, we've had these conversations many, many times.
All the time off air.
Yeah, it was awesome putting it on record.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, man. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to have you back on soon.
Will do.
Awesome.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah. Hey, I hope you guys enjoyed that episode with Mike Pasali. Mike's been at it a long time and he's a super talented designer. So go check out his work at MikeVPasali.com. You can also catch him on Instagram at It's Mike P. You can also check us out on Instagram at Stay Creating. Shoot me a DM. I want to hear from you guys. I feature every guest that I have on this podcast on the Instagram account so you guys can get a vibe of who the guests are and the work that they do. And wherever you get your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, make sure to subscribe and leave a rating and review. I want to hear from my fellow creators out there who every damn day stay creating. Peace.